Shalom Yehudim, Shalom Bnei Noach, Shalom Goyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Tesvav B'Chodesh Malcheshvan, Parashas V'Yera, Tavshin Pei 5780, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 12 November 2019, webcasting from the target of humankind at its worst. Humanity is at its worst in its fits of anti-Jew violence, as we have seen. Today, by evening, 150 missiles had been fired, not at an enemy army, by an enemy army, enemy soldiers in an army, but missiles fired by Muslims, who make no distinctions between an enemy's army and the enemy's non-combatant people. War for them is not combat between national armies in uniform. War is killing any of the enemy people. Non-combatant old men, old women, infants, little girls, boys, mothers, fathers. It doesn't matter. We Jews are in the eyes and brains and black hearts, agents of the shaitan, the Satan. It's an act of piety to murder Jews in Israel for having humiliated Muslims in 1948. Finally, after 14 centuries, freeing themselves from Muslim oppression, living free again as Jews in their ancient homeland, as they had not since before, not only Islam, but the birth of Christianity. So yesterday, Israel returned to the tactic of assassinating individual Muslim leaders. Though for sure the MSM will report on today's Arab barrage of missiles as being fired by Palestinians, not Muslims, which is the truth. They destroyed a Jewish factory in Sderot. A Jewish home was wrecked, I think. They terrorized hundreds of thousands of Jews. They prevented hundreds of thousands of Jewish children from going to school, which may be the most significant, quote-unquote, accomplishment of these Muslims. They know at some level of understanding the Jews are smarter than they are. And keeping them from teaching their children contributes to the jihad, the struggle to return the Jews to their historic status under Muslim dictatorship. One of the achievements of today's anti-Jews is having the world conceive of the relationship in this violence as between Israelis and Palestinians, and never mind the 14 centuries of Jewish life under Muslim rule, which was always and everywhere oppressive, in varying degrees depending upon the local people and rulers. The MSM will write of today and the Palestinians when the Arab leader that Israel assassinated yesterday was the head of a cult of deeply religious people, not motivated by nationalistic and patriotic feelings. No, the organization of the leader is called Islamic Jihad, which is self-explanatory, I assume. You don't have to ask the boys in this rocket launcher club what they're all about, what they believe, what motivates them. Their name says it all. Though in modern-day Israel, the State of Israel, the creation of Herzl, a post-religious Jew, because it is post-religious, the state, that is, their leaders, cannot think clearly about the enemy in Gaza that has been firing rockets into our homes and streets for two decades now. And no one puzzles over the oddity of this alleged superpower of the Middle East and capable of putting an end to this homicidal aggression inflicted on us by these Arabs in the Gaza Strip. Instead, Israel uses its brain power to invent the Iron Dome system that over the last day brought down 60 missiles, costing $6 million, and uses its brain power to invent the equipment that they use to kill this latest head honcho, head of Islamic Jihad, and apparently a second head of the organization living in Damascus, virtually simultaneously. The technology Israel invents is amazing, I think, but I'm not sure, because of conflicting news reports, that this latest antediluvian Muslim savage, Mr. Baha Abu al-Atta, was blasted to death in his bedroom in an apartment house. And if so, it sounds like the same technique used to destroy the Arab dog responsible for murdering my friend Rechavam Ze'evi, Hashem Yakom Domo, back in 2001. Located in his apartment, that guy was outside of Ramallah, on a second or third floor, an Israeli helicopter waited for him to come home, watching from like a kilometer away, and then launched a missile that flew right into the window, exploded, killed him, but was so calibrated as to do no major damage to the room and the building. In fact, and this is how I want to fight Iran. That is, I want the U.S. to fight Iran after 40 years of being attacked by Iran in warlike acts of aggression. Imagine numerous teams of commandos dropping into barren areas in that country, equipped with GPS bomb-bearing drones to be launched into Tehran, like 100 of them, flying through the night into the bedrooms of the 100 most important men in that lunatic regime of mad Muslim clerics who smiled on 9/11. So today, much of Israel, tiny Israel, from Tel Aviv and south, really, was ordered by the Home Front Command not to go to work, not to go to school. One report during the day was that the barbarians were going first to have a big funeral for their dead leader and then retaliate by firing at Tel Aviv. But by late afternoon, so far, so good, as the IDF has ordered a handful of tanks to destroy things belonging to Islamic Jihad in Gaza. During the day, I presume an Apache helicopter espied three missile launcher boys on motorcycles and splattered them. How ironic that we, the chosen people, traditionally greeted one another with the word peace, are endlessly attacked by devotees of the most barbaric of religions who represent the antithesis of peace. These Arabs are such violent people. All my life, they're somewhere killing each other. As I speak, the Libya, Yemen, Iraq, Syria, it never ends with these people, and no less significant is the sick fact that as much as they try to kill us, and sometimes do, they're constantly killing one another. In researching my book about the invention of the Palestinians and the role model of Algeria in revolt in the 1950s and 60s, the most amazing fact I uncovered about that third world colonial rebellion, which was romanticized by the left in France and elsewhere in that period, was that for every European murdered in terrorist atrocities in Algeria, the Muslims fought a civil war and killed eight fellow Muslims. That was in the 1950s and again in Algeria in the 1990s. The now decrepit victors in the 1960s, the FLN, they were challenged by ISIS-type Muslims. And again, the death toll was like 200,000 people all murdered in atrocious terror attacks, killing and counter-killing. And so it's our fate to be the round-the-clock, never-sleeping target of murderous hatred in the minds and hearts of these savage Muslim Arab neighbors of ours, the seed of that wild ass of a man, Ishmael. And savage is the right word. I've returned to working on the Barbary Pirates and have discovered that not only Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, and John Adams, the second president of the United States, use that word, savage, savages, to describe Muslims. Jefferson, after all, in the Declaration of Independence years before, likewise had not shied from referring to the Indians who sided with the British during the Revolution and called them merciless Indian savages. And so did John Jay. In the 1780s, he was the Secretary for Foreign Affairs in the still extant pre-Constitution Continental Congress. He called them savages, too. He was, then became, in the future, the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. It's another hallmark, I think, of the rot in Western civilization in our time, that no more is that acceptable language. I remember in 1980, when the late great President Ronald Reagan was campaigning for the presidency during the hostage crisis with Iran, and I remember him calling Iranian kidnappers barbarians, which was spot on. The word barbarian comes from the Greek barbaros, referring to the people on the other side of the Mediterranean from the Greeks. Some say that barbaros was virtually a sarcastic insult, an attempt to make fun of the language that sounds to Greeks as a varvarvar. In any case, the coast of North Africa earned the nickname the Barbary Shore. For the Greeks, anyone who did not speak Greek was a barbarian, but over time the word came to be specifically identified with the uncivilized savages on the north coast of Africa. And that is exactly who these Muslims Arabs are. I mean, what kind of a people pulls off a 9/11? the mass murder of thousands of individual human beings guilty of nothing? In this week's Parsha, we will be witness to Avraham arguing with the Almighty over the justice of the innocent dying with the guilty. And we should not forget that 9/11 followed decades of the Palestinians hijacking airliners, planting bombs aboard them that blew them out of the sky. Who else but these Muslims act like this? Their holy city, Mecca, is the site of routine head-chopping and hand-chopping. Yeah, Islam has produced thousands of satanic terrorist massacres over the last half century. And I continue to see Jewish pathology at work in Israel's palsied imagination, incapable of thinking of a way to pacify the Gaza Strip once and for all. The MSM experts here today were reporting the call-up of reserves and the expectation of days of terror missile strikes, and yours truly has lost track of how many times since 2005 the IDF has had to mount a major operation. And I say enough already. And this paralysis is likely rooted in the reluctance of contemporary post-religious Israelis to claim the right to drive the enemy out of Gaza, because the Strip is land rightfully the possession of the Jewish people. Modern post-Jewish Israelis are afraid of being called racist, fascist, thieves, or Palestine for making any move to evict the enemy population from our land. Yeah, as Israel suffers a kind of paralysis of the mind about Gaza, so it remains mute in the face of world anti-Jewry's endless verbal aggression, fostering the verbal hologram of a Palestinian people with rights that we Jews deny to them. We Jews are in possession of what rightly belongs to them. Nearly 2,000 years ago, the Midrash recorded the story of the Ishmaelites offered the Torah, which they rejected because it says don't steal, and the historical record is plain that Arabs throughout history were thieves, armed robbers, nomads, and therefore uncivilized, because civilization begins with sedentary life and the cultivation of land. Does a day go by without news of some anti-Jew spewing poisonous words about us? A recent example, the Knesset approved a cable car for Jerusalem to serve the many visitors to our Temple Mount occupied by savage Muslim barbarians, which news report angered the ancient ones because the line will pass over their houses. A spokeswoman for the outlaw PLO syndicate of Jew killers, Dr. Hanan Ashrawi, talking like a real Arab, which I'll explain in a moment, protested, quote, "The cable car project is an obscene violation of the cultural, historical, spiritual, geographic, and demographic character of Jerusalem," close quote. With no Israeli, no Jewish spokesman taking her on by saying, "The historical record of Jerusalem's cultural, spiritual, geographic, and demographic character shows no presence whatsoever of any Palestinians living in Jerusalem, let alone contributing to its culture, its spiritual, geographic, and demographic character. This woman lives in a world of 1001 nights, a world of fairy tales. Only in her world, all the villains are always Jews." I said before she spoke like a true Arab in this style of listing a series of crimes, the hallmark of a primitive intellect that thinks that by adding accusation after accusation, this will strengthen the argument when it doesn't. Again and again, I've heard Arabs accuse Israel of being a racist, fascist, colonialist, imperialist thief of Balas dime from the Palestinians. I've heard PLO murderers claim they're going to destroy Israel, quote, militarily, economically, politically, culturally, geographically, and so on and so forth. Thus spake Hanan Ashrawi, who I imagine has Mr. Jefferson looking down from heaven in serious dismay. In his epitaph, the writing on his headstone, he noted three things he was most proud of in life. One, writing the Declaration of Independence, writing the Virginia Bill for Religious Freedom, which, by the way, is why he was so hostile to Islam. Freedom of religion was central to his being. And number three, founding the University of Virginia, where Hanan Ashrawi got her PhD. A mind like hers that believes there was a Palestinian people that played a role in the history of Jerusalem's cultural, geographic, and spiritual character does not belong in a Western university. Leastwise in none of the so-called humanities. For sure, there are Muslim Arabs out there who have enough brain power between their ears to become scientists, mathematicians, but otherwise, hers is a most primitive mind at work that Israel is remiss in not shining a light on. A healthier Jewish society would not tolerate this constant spewing of anti-Semitic thinking, which is the essence of Palestinian nationalism. The creation of this verbal hologram claiming historic ownership of Eretz Yisrael and that Nazi-like Jews stole it from them. The sky would not fall if the Prime Minister of Israel announced a major speech by himself at such and such a time, as he did when he declared a couple of weeks ago that if he returns to office, he will annex the Jordan River Valley, and announce in that speech that Israel will no longer join the fantasy game of there being a Palestinian people with the right to a state in our ancient biblical promised land. He might say Israel's prepared to continue to treat humanely the Arab Muslims in Judea and Samaria, but the idea of a Palestinian state, that was the Oslo abomination, and it was the brainchild of Israeli leftists hostile to thousands of years of Jewishness, during which Jerusalem was in our prayers and on our lips, triggering the memory of the nation being at home here. The first temple stood for some 403 years. The second temple for 415 years. The temple has been in Jewish prayers many times daily since the year 69 CE, with no record since then of any Palestinians living here, let alone calling Jerusalem their capital and contributing to the cultural, geographic, and spiritual character of the city. The entirety of the hostility to Israel today is the poison fruit of the tree of fake knowledge that the Jews stole Palestine from the Palestinians, which official Israel never, ever says in response that there are no Palestinians and we didn't steal anything. It's a fact. There's no record of Palestinians building anything in Jerusalem. Until the Zionist movement, no Palestinians ever built a school, never built a hospital. Early in the 20th century, Christians from overseas built two hospitals, Augusta Victoria being one of them. Then came Henrietta Zold creating Hadassah Hospital. Then after 1967, the Israeli authorities permitted the building of the first hospital in the Arab section for Arabs in Jerusalem. In the 1920s and 30s, the first years of Mandatory Palestine, a jurisdiction no Arabs ever knew existed, there was only one high school in Judea and Samaria for Arabs, in Ramallah, built by American Quakers. What did any Palestinian group or organization ever build in Jerusalem for Hana Shrawi to fantasize this perfectly hallucinatory Palestinian past in our holy city that the cable car will insult, or something like that? What Israel needs to do is stop trying to get along with these Arabs and start speaking the truth to them and the world. And it can start by organizing protest demonstrations at the European Court of Justice at its headquarters, where World Anti-Jewry Today singled out Jews from all the nations of the world by ruling that the produce of Jews in Judea and Samaria be marked as the handiwork of illegal settlers. These Europeans have yet to understand that their behavior is classic Jew hatred in modern dress.
אל העולם, תראי גם בעיניי, הוא עוד לא מושלם. דווקא בגלל זה יש לנו עסק משותף, לבד אין סיכוי, אני כמו עלה נידף. תראי, יש לנו דרך ארוכה, אין קיצורי דרך, בטח תהיה שחיקה, וגם יהיו עליות וירידות, אך אני בחרתי בך מכל האחרות. בואי ותדליקי את האור בעיניי, יחזור הצבע ללחיי, יראה שאני ואת רוצים לגדול. אני מחובר חזק לאדמה, ממנה אני צומח בלעדי השממה. יושבים ביחד על העגלה, פתאום מגלים זוהי דרך לא סלולה. אני אומר לך בואי נחזור להתחלה, לי את משיבה זו הדרך אל הגאולה. בואי ותדליקי את האור בעיניי, יחזור הצבע לחיי, נראה שאני ואת רוצים לגדול. תראי שזה ילך ויסתדר, על הפחד נתגבר, יחד נבנה לנו עולם. אז תני בי אמון עכשיו שזה לא היה
לו עסק משותף לבד אין סיכוי אני כמו עלה נידף.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa.
Yes, the European Court of Justice today ruled that Israeli products produced in Judea and Samaria, in East Jerusalem and the Golan Heights, must be labeled not as products of Israel, but products of Israeli settlements in occupied territory. The ruling also described the settlements, the communities of Jews built on barren land bothering no one. They, quote, give concrete expression to a policy of population transfer conducted by the state outside of its territory in violation of the rules of general international humanitarian law, close quote. This is a wonderful, solid piece of malignant thinking that is so because of its dishonesty. It's a series of lies. First of all, the expression population transfer refers back to the Fourth Geneva Convention, Article 49, written and established in 1949, condemning population transfer, which had at the time been inspired, that word language, by the Jewish population all over conquered Europe being forcibly transferred by the Nazis against their will to Polish extermination camps. Here, that language is used to dishonestly describe the rise of the post-67 Jewish communities as a population transfer, when not one settler, not one, was transferred. He and she came of their own free will to live in the heart of the Jewish homeland. The second lie in this Euro court of fake justice: the communities are described as outside of Israel's territory when the truth is that Israel's territory has never been defined, never been settled in law. It's a lie to declare Judea and Samaria outside of Israel's territory, which remains undefined. Worse, it contradicts the League of Nations in 1922, whose map of Palestine showed all the land west of the Jordan recognized as the historic homeland of the Jewish people. And number three, for Israel being, quote, in violation of the rules of general international humanitarian law, close quote, which formulation I would offer in evidence of the dishonesty of this language. What rules of general international humanitarian law does the court have in mind? Where can one find these rules and discover which of them fingers Israel's presence in the historic homeland of the Jewish people as a violation of international humanitarian law? The absence of specificity is a significant indicator that there is no such law that denies the right of Jews to live in Judea and Samaria, because their presence on heretofore barren hilltops are a violation of written international humanitarian law. Really, where? To quote Star Trek's Mr. Spock, I find this fascinating. This ruling and this language is this generation's post-Holocaust way of accusing Jews of evil, of the crime of living on ancient Palestinian land that the criminal Jews stole from its ancient, age-old national owners. In centuries past, Jews were accused of all kinds of skullduggery, cheating in business, Jewing someone down in a business deal, killing the creator of the universe, murdering non-Jews to suck out their blood, poisoning a water supply, poisoning Muhammad. Today, their presence in Judea and Samaria is an offense, and the judgment of the European community against humanitarian law, meaning treating the ancient ones as less than human, treating them in ways that are inhuman and worthy of evil people. International law expert Eugene Kontorovich described the Euro court ruling as, quote, labeling Jewish products from Judea and Samaria with a yellow star. More evidence of the failure of the secular Zionist ambition to create a state whose very existence will put an end to anti-Semitism. Religious Jews, by contrast, I think, would agree that anti-Jewitis will be around until Moshiach comes, who won't come until the Jews stop trying to end anti-Semitism by de-Judaizing themselves, but finally embrace their destiny as a kingdom of priests serving the Holy One, blessed be He. Last word, an explanation of why I did not do a webcast 2 evenings ago and asked webmistress Suzanne to post, I was fed up. In truth, it was a day incredibly empty of anything truly new, but also because I was just sick of following the mind-boggling stories of corruption in the U.S. and the anti-Trump hysteria, which is also nastily anti-American, but also the corruption here in the persecution of Binyamin Ben-Mencion, in pretty much the same spirit as Trump is being hounded. The legal powers in both countries acting in disgusting ways, and I feared I would have nothing to say but express a depressing bitterness I did not want to inflict on you. So I just played hooky and took the night off. I'll be back Thursday, God willing. Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.